This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today is Little Hurricane.
You told me stay here, I'll be right back. It's just a matter of time. I nearly tore myself into looking for you in my mind.
Hello, this is John Floridis. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome to the show Little Hurricane, and that would be Cece and Tone.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for making time to be on the show. I want to tell listeners as we start the interview here that we are speaking to Cece and Tone backstage at the Wilma Theater in mid-February. And we were talking before the interview started about the fact that you have been to Montana before. You have been through the area and done some playing here.
Yeah, once. We were at the Top Hat about a year ago. It was a great experience. We swam in the river here, and this time, not so much. But
what, not in mid-February?
It was July last time.
Well, that's a great way to get to know the town. Just jump right in the river and go for a swim.
Got to get out of the van, get out of the clubs, and get in the water. Yeah.
Excellent. Very good. Well, as I was saying, also right before we started the interview, I've just come to your music very recently, so all the more pleased to have you on the program. Maybe let's start with just talking about how you two met. I know you get asked this a lot.
Yeah, well, we met on Craigslist. So the modern day classified, I guess. I turned to Craigslist because all the drummers I knew were busy in other bands. And so I perused there for a while and met up with a few different drummers. And, you know, you got to meet someone where your visions align to kind of make music together. So I came across Cece's ad here, and she had a video of her just wailing on this electronic drum kit. I was like, well, that's cool. Not the electronic drum kit, but like a female drummer just rocking out. So I sent her an email, and she wrote back, and we started jamming, and I don't know, Go ahead. You can chime in anytime.
I want to hear about this, the video of the electronic drum kit, how that came about.
Well, I had I played drums when I was a kid and always wanted to play drums as an adult, but did some other things for the majority of my growing up. And eventually it was just always at the back of my head that I really wanted to play the drums. I really wanted to try and be in a band. And I had bought an electronic drum kit just because I lived in a small apartment and I couldn't play a regular drum kit there. And it was all it took for me to realize, like, this is what I'm meant to do. And so I set up a little camera and filmed just a little 2 or 3 minute drum solo on my electronic drums, which was all I really knew how to play at that point. And put the ad on Craigslist, thinking I could find someone. I had just applied for a job as a bartender right before that on via Craigslist, and I had showed up with about 400 other bartenders to an open call for bartending and thought, wow, Craigslist, a lot of people check it out. And so I thought if I could get the biggest quantity of people, I could narrow it down to the best quality of people. And he was actually the only one I wrote back to, and it turned out we were about 3 blocks away from each other on the very same street in San Diego.
Oh, wow.
And we were both in jazz band in high school, so we had that common background of jazz knowledge, and so that's kind of where the basis of our music comes from, so our jazz background.
Well, that's interesting, because I was laughing not at the idea of being in jazz band, certainly, but that wouldn't have jumped out at me hearing your music.
Yeah, I think we've definitely built it up for bigger stages now with a little more rock, and we want to be loud, and you know, there's only two of us, so we can kind of crank it up if we want. We don't have to make room for a, I don't know, fiddle player or whatever, but I think it fits well with what we're trying to do. She can hit her drums hard and can turn it up.
Yeah, I think the last thing I want to be told is you hit like a girl. So I generally get told I hit like a man.
Yeah, I can. I'll vouch for that. Absolutely. Talk about the first time after the Craigslist audition and the electronic drum kit, and you get together for the first time, you do some playing. What did you do, cover tunes when you first got together?
No, I had some originals kind of.
So you jumped right into it. Okay.
Yeah.
And talk about just that first time that you completed a song and arranged it as Little Hurricane. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I think we had a couple demos, as you call them, where we're kind of just getting the rough outline of the song together. And, you know, the song's never really done until you either record it or play it live or whatever. Even then, it's not done. But so I tell her after a few months of kind of putting together some rough structures, like, let's play a show. She's like, whoa, we can't play. It's like, well, it's got to be a first time, you know, to play a show anyways. We can work out the song, see what doesn't work and what works. And so I think that really got the ball rolling, is playing our first show. And we played shows for a year before even recording anything, just to explore that medium and refine our songs how we wanted them to be presented to people in a face-to-face scenario and not just on an album.
It sounds like you guys had a really strong response from folks pretty early. That's the impression I got, certainly. So talk about just, you know, what's your take on how it connected with folks on such a nice level right from the get-go.
I'd have to say it's just the song. We're just being honest with our songs and just raw. And people took that as like, this is real. It's not like someone playing a laptop back or playing a, you know, playback tracks, or, you know, you're there, you're hearing the songs directly from people. And that's the only thing I can attribute it to.
I think that there is a lot of honesty in our music and our performance. And the fact that I've never been in a band before, you know, it's just a different feeling. I'm incredibly grateful for every experience to play in front of somebody. And the fact that people clap when we're done just blows my mind, that I can come to work and people applaud. Like, who gets that? You know, I mean, it's just amazing. And I think maybe that reflect the audience can maybe feel that we're really grateful to be doing what we're doing.
So let me just clarify something here. So this is actually the first band you've played in?
Correct.
At all, like going back, other than jazz band back in
school?
Yeah,
I mean, I played a little in a marching band and symphonic band and would sometimes jam with a friend in a garage, but it's definitely the first time. I mean, one of my favorite stories, I seem kind of foolish in it, but our very first show, I sit down at the drum kit and the sound guy says, kick drum. I'm like, yeah, kick drum. So I hit it. You got to keep hitting it. And I had absolutely no idea what a sound check was. Our first half a dozen shows, I spent being terrified of the sound guy because I felt like he knew more about my instrument than I did. But, you know, we've progressed, and now 4 years later, it feels I'm no longer scared of the sound guy, and I know what a monitor is for, and I've learned a lot.
Give them hell. It's the worst heartache I'd ever known.
You sold your soul.
Now it's got me on my
knees.
Clean on up, oh, let me be.
This is John Floridas. You're listening to Musician Spotlight, and we're speaking to CC Antone from the band Little Hurricane. It's interesting, when I was doing some research on the group, and I see this term tossed out a lot, you know, rock or dirty blues, which I think is, you know, an apt description of what you guys do. And yet when I found your list of influences, it read more like, you know, a list of a who's who of more traditional songwriters, you know, Paul Simon and the Beatles and Van Morrison and James Taylor. Maybe talk a little bit about how those influences combine with, as you said, the jazz band background to come up with this very raw, intense, dirty blues kind of sound.
Well, when I first started playing guitar, I was always blown away by guitar players, you know, could do something that I couldn't do. And, you know, it makes you want to learn, oh, how did they do that riff? Or what's this mode or scale? But I realized you're never going to achieve greatness at guitar. I mean, you can, or I mean, people do. Mm-hmm. But that's not why I listen to music. It's not to hear a shredder on guitar or anything. It's about the song. And so I just learned enough on guitar so I could write songs. And to me, it was a tool to get the songs out. And so the influences are not necessarily the style. Like, we don't sound like James Taylor, mm-hmm. But I am influenced by songwriting.
Mm. When we first met, we connected on those artists. We both were kind of raised on our parents' music. I mean, I still listen to Paul Simon every tour. It just never gets old. Or the Beatles, they just never get old. To have that sort of longevity in your music is really important. To have a feeling and emotion that you're conveying that you aren't necessarily trying to connect with, that people, but they connect with it anyway because it's so present and honest. I think that that's really true of their songwriting and hopefully of ours as well.
CC, I know that the thing that comes up, I would imagine just about every interview, is the idea of a female musician playing drums, and you've talked about that a little bit. It's stunning to me that it's 2014 and it's still something that's unusual, but it still almost had this almost subversive sort of element to it. And I guess I wanted to, which I think is cool. I like that. I think that really serves your guys' music. When you see the band's promo photo and you don't know who plays what, I confess there was this, oh, she plays the drums. Wow, far out. Cool. Talk about maybe, you know, if you had some women that you looked up to as drummers, if you have found as you've started to do this, the response you've gotten from young women, you know, and in terms of now being kind of a role model yourself in some ways.
Yeah, I have. And to meet parents who say, I got my daughter a drum set because of you, is truly amazing. I had seen this YouTube video of Karen Carpenter a long time ago, and she was in a room surrounded by drums, just in this room surrounded by drums, all different kinds of percussion and drum kits, and she's running around playing them with this goofy smile on her face, just so happy to be doing it. And I think that video in particular really influenced me because I'm like, look at this beautiful woman who's banging the living daylights out of things and smiling and happy and enjoying and showing that and not trying to look tough. And so I think that I like to have that juxtaposition of wearing a pretty dress, doing my hair and makeup, and then hitting the drums as hard as I can, and to show that you can still be pretty or try and look pretty, mm-hmm. and be powerful at the same time. When I was a kid, when I played in marching band and jazz band, it was really hard to be the only girl drummer. Mm-hmm. I was on a drum line in junior high and my freshman year in high school of like 10 other guys, and it was just me. And I really hated that. I hated that I was different and that even if my skills were better, I still was different. But as an adult, it makes me special. And I think that's important to remember for anybody, that whatever sets you apart, just because you're different, it makes you special, and special makes you stand out. Mm-hmm. So when people see you and think, oh, wow, you know, that's something different, it's something I value now versus something that I before maybe wished I could have changed.
Let's maybe talk about how, at this point, songs come together. Because as we are speaking to you, this is a good time to be doing the interview because you've got a brand new recording coming out, Gold Fever, coming out in March of 2014. So by the time folks hear this, it's probably going to be out. Obviously, you're still writing. You're very much immersed in writing songs. Talk about how things are coming together now when you put the songs together.
I think a song really has to have a feeling behind it. So whether that feeling is feeling musically that we've come together with a jam session, or a topic that we approach, like, this is what we want the song to be about. What should this sound like? You know, should it be, obviously, if it's a happy subject matter, kind of a little like the song Gold Fever, the title track is just about us recording on the album in an old gold mining town, and what was going through the minds of these people as they were really searching for the riches and gold. I mean, and you can still see it like on these reality shows, the gold shows, whatever. But so that song's a little more kitschy, but certain songs are more sad and dramatic. So
it's been really great recording with Tone, and to have someone where I can come to him with an idea or something personal in my life and put it into a song. And I feel really fortunate to be able to do that. That's part of the reason I love being in a duo. I don't know if with a 4-piece band I could say, hey, my grandmother just passed away, can we write a song about her? But we're able to do that. And I think that I consider myself really lucky to be able to do that. And it makes the songs more honest, because a lot of them truly are about what's happening in our lives.
I wanted to ask you about the visual element of the band, because you've got some great videos. I really encourage folks to go to the website, littlehurricane.com, and check out some of the videos, or on YouTube or whatever.
Littlehurricanemusic.com.
Thank you. Thank you. Littlehurricanemusic.com. I wanted to know if that was something you spent a lot of time kind of honing, or if it was something that just kind of came naturally. It seems like it's consistent. And I'm not sure I could even identify what it is, but there's a visual element that you guys seem to have really you know, really well together, both in your promotional photos and the videos and just your whole presentation of your visual presentation of the music, I guess.
I think that we just have high standards, and that reflects hopefully in our songs, in our photos, in our videos.
Yeah, and I think probably a lot of the visuals you're talking to are like the lamp we have on stage and the nightstand speaker cabinet that run the guitar through. It wasn't an immediate thing. It was like, oh, this looks cool. Let's put this on. Oh, well, we can't have a nightstand without a lamp on it. Let's put a lamp on it. And then, CC's kick drum now has a chandelier inside of it, which is a new addition to our set. It's just little things here and there we do to keep things exciting and kind of show, like, we want this to feel like we wrote a lot of these songs in a living room and recorded a lot of them in the living room. So it's like, this is where our music came from. Let's bring it to the stage. So
yeah, I like the idea that it's more of a living room blues rock, not a garage blues rock here.
Yeah.
I like that. That's an interesting distinction. That's cool. I wanted to ask about a particular video, which I know there's a little bit of a story behind, and that is from Haunted Heart, if I'm not mistaken. That was kind of an interesting story behind that in terms of
I like to call it a murder mystery, where it's really just a mystery. We don't know who was murdered or anything. So we just decided to film it in San Diego and show a lot of the area and kind of make it a little dramatic and creepy and haunted, I guess. I don't know.
Wasn't this the video, though, that you had all the props in the car and you got pulled over?
Yeah.
Right during sunset, which we were waiting all day for this sunset shot, and I'm halfway across the desert, but we can see the lights going behind them that are filming in the car.
Oh, the state ranger.
Yeah, and I'm like, are you serious? And we're watching the sunset, and he had a gun in the car. He had open container of alcohol in
the car.
Well,
these are all props for the...
It was a real gun, and it was real booze. So, yeah. I mean, they were props, but...
Yeah, that was a little nerve-wracking, but it worked out, and he let us off with...
And he said, absolutely no more filming. You're done. If I see you filming again, I'm seizing all the equipment. And the filmmaker had rented a truck full of equipment, but we had to get our last shots in, so we actually hid behind the moving van that had all the equipment and snuck in our last few shots of the day.
Well, gun and open container in the mix, also a mannequin... It was bloody.
Yeah, bloody mannequin.
No registration for the car.
Yeah, it was a friend's neighbor's car we borrowed. Just little things here and there that, oh, oops.
We didn't have a filming permit. Yeah, we really kind of made it through just by the seat of our pants. Huh.
And listeners, if you would like to see this video, you can go to littlehurricane.com, their website where they have that. That's it again. littlehurricanemusic.com.
Or just Google Little Hurricane. You can find all our stuff. Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad that the band is here, so I can make sure to get the website correct. littlehurricanemusic.com is the name of the website, and that's where you can go to find out more information about CC and Tone. Great stuff. Thank you so much for making time to be on the program today. Hope we get a chance to talk again down the road.
Sounds good.
Baby, you can bottle laughing. You're better than a bottle of aspirin. I feel weak from the high. You thin my blood like a fire. You tear me up alive. You gotta get away. All the sirens come. I could be awake, but you can sleep in my bed.
This is John Floridas. You've been listening to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today has been the band Little Hurricane. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org. You can also contact us through our own website, musicianspotlight.org, as well as through Facebook. Our program is now available as a podcast from those websites as well as from iTunes. Special thanks to the Wilma Theater and Knitting Factory Productions for this interview. Musician Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.